prayer. Father God, we thank you for your holy word, and we pray that this morning your Holy Spirit will guide us in our thinking and then in our living. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning to you all. I wonder whether you'd agree with me that there are some very significant words that can just escape our attention a bit like water off a duck's back. We know these words so well, we use them so frequently that they've lost their power. And one example I suggest to you this morning is the word mercy. I don't know that we use it a great deal in daily life, but correct me if I'm wrong. It does get used in law courts sometimes, doesn't it? When the solicitor defending someone who's accused, when it comes to sentence, may plead for mercy in a mitigation plea. But we've used the word mercy again and again this morning, haven't we? In the general confession, Lord, have mercy upon us. Later, O most merciful Father. And then in the Te Deum, right at the end, O Lord, have mercy upon us. O Lord, let thy mercy lighten upon us. Do you see how frequent it is and how its frequency could lead to its devaluation, like water off a duck's back? And then we come to Psalm 100, the Jubilate. The Lord is gracious, his mercy is everlasting. And then later, Lord, have mercy upon us. And we say it three times. And then again, after the Lord's Prayer, said for the second time, Cranmer had his reasons for that, but not everyone today knows the reasons. We say it again, O Lord, show thy mercy upon us. Again and again and again. And in the hymn 29 that we sang a few minutes ago, mercy shall pursue me. Well, I wonder how much we've thought about the word mercy. But of course, we can't avoid it today because our Darsan Bishop has urged us to think about the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, what we call the Beatitudes. Now, in the early years of the Christian Church, perhaps I'll just be reminding you of what you know well. In the early years of the Christian Church, many, possibly most of the Christians, had their favourite gospel. I expect you've got your favourite gospel. But their favourite gospel, for many of them, was the Gospel of Matthew. That just might be the reason why it's first. We don't really know. But one of the reasons probably why it was such a favourite was that it was deliberately written, it seems, as a kind of teaching guide to the Christian faith. And Matthew particularly had in mind many of the early Christians, the vast majority, were Jewish people, weren't they? And it seems that Matthew had this in mind. He quotes the Old Testament a great number of times. As it was fulfilled, he says again and again, the Old Testament sayings. And in his gospel, as I think you probably well know, there are five blocks of teaching that many people think are paralleling the five books of Moses, the first five books of what we call the Old Testament. And of course, they were of special importance to the Jews. And so it seems that Matthew collected together many of the teachings and parables of Jesus into these five blocks. And the first is the most famous, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6 and 7. And that sermon begins with the Beatitudes. So these Beatitudes were obviously regarded by Matthew as of particular significance, right at the beginning of the first great block of teaching. And within these Beatitudes, one is about mercy. Mercy and being merciful. Blessed, how happy are those who are merciful, because they will continue to experience mercy. We don't commonly, as I said a few minutes ago, we don't use the word merciful a great deal, do we, in daily language. But we use words that are very close to it, like compassion or kindness. And I wonder whether, like me, you can think back to the days when you were at school. I've got to think back quite a while. And what I most remember with appreciation about some of the teachers was not that they were brilliant at their subject, but that they were kind. And I think that's one of the most important elements in teaching, don't you? To have a kind of empathy with your students, your pupils. To be on their wavelength. And if they're slow to understand, as I was about some subjects, I had my favourite subjects I was quite good at, and I had my other subjects that I really struggled with. But to have a teacher who would be kind and patient made such a difference. So, how is the preacher to talk about this beatitude, which we're asked by the bishop to think about not just as it affects us as individuals, but as it affects us as a group, the church in Dinton. Blessed are the merciful. So, how did Jesus preach about it? Well, as so often, Jesus told some stories. So telling stories, I think, is really rather important in preaching. And I'm just going to remind you of two stories that Jesus told about being merciful. I wonder whether they jump into your mind straight away. Well, here's the first story, and it's about how we should react when people have bad luck. Now, there are lots of different kinds of bad luck, aren't there? Some people have an accident, and life is fine, and then suddenly they trip over, and life changes in a flash, doesn't it? You may break your leg. You may sprain your ankle. You may do considerable damage. And your whole life has been changed, hopefully just for a few weeks, but sometimes for a very long time. And sometimes people have bad luck that is life-changing for the rest of their lives. You'll be able to think of examples. And of course, some people have bad luck because of a handicap. They might be born with it, or it may develop in early years or later. And some people, particularly as they get older. So, how do we react to people who have bad luck? And there are lots of many other examples you might be able to think of. And the way we react, Jesus says, is not primarily about what goes on up here. It's what goes on here. It's actions that are more significant than emotions. So Jesus told this story. I'll change it a bit because I want you to think about what story it is. I don't want to give it away too quickly. But this man was on a journey and he got mugged. Just like the Home Secretary got, as announced this week, hasn't he? That he got mugged not long ago. And he got mugged, and he got mugged, and he got badly injured, lying in the road. And a very senior kind of clergy person was driving past and went straight on. And then a rather senior legal gentleman was going past and went straight on. And then someone, a rather strange person, actually from a different race, rather looked down upon by all the people in that area, stopped and went to considerable expense and trouble and possibly danger for himself by doing some initial first aid and then getting him to hospital and paying the fee. Didn't have the National Health Service when Jesus told that story. So you all know the story, don't you? We call it the parable of the Good Samaritan. How do you react to someone's bad luck? And it was very costly for the person who helped. Dangerous and costly. And of course, Jesus continually in his life showed kindness and compassion. That's why we had our second Bible reading, the so well-known story of the feeding of the crowds. Why? Because they'd been out all day in the hot sun. And many of them hadn't come prepared with a picnic. And in Jesus' life, he again and again, and this is particularly brought out in Luke's gospel, he particularly was concerned for people who were experiencing bad luck. It was often thought to be bad luck to be a woman in those days. I'm afraid they were not treated well frequently. But Jesus went out of his way. And then there were people who were widows, women with that particular sadness. And Jesus, again and again, especially went out of his way to minister to widows. And then there was the children who were to be seen and not heard most of the time in those days. But he put a child on his knee and said, be like this child, trusting. Of course, he didn't just minister to those people. He did minister to the synagogue ruler, whose daughter was terribly ill. He did minister to the Roman centurion from the occupying forces. But compassion and kindness, particularly to those facing many different kinds of bad luck. So we need to think about that, don't we? Very easy for us to be impatient with people who are having real difficulties in their lives. That's not mercy. And then the second story, and the last. And Jesus told this story about what attitude we might have to those who've done us wrong. Now, this is a hard one. And I know families that are riven because one member of the family has, it is alleged, done down some other member of the family. Sometimes it's to do with money or property or the will of someone earlier. But I may have a very close friend who hasn't spoken to a close member of his family for decades. And I feel very bad about it because I've preached to that man for 6 years. And the penny still hasn't dropped in his life in that particular instance. So Jesus told a story, and it went something like this. There were two people who worked for the same company. And one was very senior and one was very junior. And the senior one did something that was really pretty terrible and that cost the boss of the company a great deal. And he knew he was in big trouble. And he went and he presented a case to the boss and said, could you give me another chance? Could you have mercy? And the boss said, I'm going to give you another go. And he went back to his office and work. And sometime later, this very junior member of his department did something that was wrong that cost the company a bit. It wasn't an enormous deal, but it was noticeable. And he was on the carpet before his manager. And he said, I'm very sorry about this. Would you have mercy on me? Certainly not, said the manager, the senior manager. We can't have people behaving like this in this company. You will pay back every penny and you'll go to prison until you do. And there were other people in the company who were very upset about this. You'll remember that story, won't we? We call it the parable of the unmerciful servant, don't we? And it's in Matthew chapter 13. The first parable, by the way, is in Luke chapter 10. But this one, Matthew chapter 13. The unmerciful servant. And he'd been forgiven such a big issue. But he was unwilling to forgive someone else a relatively small matter. Now, the tricky thing about these Beatitudes is how the first bit relates to the second bit. Does it mean happy are the merciful because they will receive mercy? They've earned it. They deserve it. Well, that doesn't sound like the New Testament at all, does it? Because the Bible says to us again and again that we can't earn God's forgiveness. We can't deserve God's mercy. So we have to think quite hard about how the first bit ties in with the second bit. And would you agree, it goes like this, that if you're merciful to other people who have bad luck or who've done something that's damaging to you, it shows that you know what mercy is all about. And you'll continue to enjoy it in the rest of your life. Do you think that's what it might mean? How much do we appreciate the mercy of God? Which I think is beyond measure. Jesus said, blessed, how happy are those who are merciful.